And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live 7 a.m. this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts and your favorite podcast app, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, anywhere you get your shows. You can also listen online by visiting the website, nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. or give them a call at 910-251-6088. One of the things that Donald Trump has the ability to do, and you've seen this throughout both of his terms in the Oval Office, is he has the ability to really shape public discord. And he has it and had the ability even before he was in the Oval Office the first time. But if you go back to 2015, and look at the presidential campaign that was that of Donald Trump at the time, what was the big thing that he talked about? What was the big issue, the big discussion, the big conversation that he kept hitting over and over and over again that ended up becoming national discussion? At the time, it was the border and the wall, right? Prior to 2015, while yes, of course, there's always been talk about immigration, there's always been talk about things and policy surrounding immigration to the United States, Donald Trump took that issue, one that was not overly discussed, and turned it into a national conversation. Then, of course, as he was successful in beating Hillary Clinton in late 2015 or late 2016 and being sworn in early 2017, he was able to amplify that conversation and make it a major talking point across the political spectrum. And you've seen this with a variety of issues over the last, over the two terms that Trump has been in the Oval Office. And he's doing it again right now on an issue that is a very tough one for the Democrats to deal with. And that is crime. You are seeing the president, it started really back in and got in its full form back about 2 weeks ago when he decided that he was going to deploy National Guard troops to Washington, D.C., that he was going to use executive authority that he has. I know all the threats and talks about Trump is a dictator and he's destroying the democracy, but all of the authority that he has to enforce laws in the District of Columbia to change the leadership structure in D.C., he did that and he's done it incredibly well. Now, you can argue whether the president is right about the issue. You can argue whether the president is wrong about the issue. That is all fair game. That is all a valid, and I would argue a good discussion. But what you can't argue is that the president has once again taken an issue and really forced everybody to talk about it. And crime is the discussion right now. As I have been had cable news on throughout the day yesterday and early this morning, both CNN and MSNBC, and of course Fox has talked about it as well, but those two outlets have consistently been talking about crime. Donald Trump has forced the issue on crime, and it is an issue that Democrats do not have a good answer for. And it's something that is really exposing those on the political left as yet another issue that they cannot deal with. Part of the strategy that I have kind of latched onto, and I think you've seen play out pretty well in this second Trump administration, is he is doing what I'll call, flooding the zone. He is hitting so many issues, tackling so many problems in a rapid succession. He's doing them one after another, and sometimes multiple at the same time, that it is not giving the left, and more predominantly giving the media, the ability to really set their feet and figure out how to defend an issue. Because it's constantly changing. The issue of the day is constantly moving around. And with crime, it's something that the Democrats are struggling with big time because they're not interested in a solution. And this is backed up. I caught this piece yesterday over at Politico. The headline is this: Trump is leaning in on crime. Democrats need a better response and fast. Now, this is an article written by Rachel Bade, who is Politico's Capitol Bureau Chief and a senior Washington columnist. This is an individual that is a very high up bureau chief at Politico writing this piece. And I wanted to read through at least some of it with you this morning, because I think it's a very interesting kind of look into what is going on. So let's start here. To many Washington insiders, President Trump's early August Beltway crime crackdown seemed like an opportunist and ham-handed pivot after getting walloped for weeks over the Jeffrey Epstein affair. But it wasn't clear then, it is now. The White House's public safety play is a deliberate ploy to reinforce the narratives on an issue that favors Republicans ahead of the midterm, and one that's already backing Democrats into a corner. Now, I'll have to give Rachel Blade over at Politico an incredible amount of credit for identifying what is going on, for identifying the situation that is unfolding in front of her very eyes and being able to tackle that issue. It goes on to say, the president in recent days is leaning even further into using the National Guard as a glorified police force, visiting the troops and allowing them to be armed. He suggested he's eyeing Chicago and New York next for their deployment. On Sunday, he needled Maryland Governor Wes Moore for Baltimore's notorious crime statistics, hinting that he could send troops there as well. It is a sign that despite polling showing how unpopular Trump's moves are in Washington, which she is wrong about that. We went through those details last week. The polling in Washington, D.C. is not accurate. Now, the data itself is accurate, yes, but the District of Columbia itself is one of the bluest areas anywhere in the country. When I pulled this up last week, and I'll do so again, just so to prove the points to you as to what the numbers look like in Washington, D.C. This is a state, not a state. This is an area of the country in the District of Columbia that if you look at the 2024 presidential results, 90.2% of voters, more than 294,000 voters in the District of Columbia voted for Harris and Waltz. 90%. Compared to just less than 6.5% of the vote for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, pulling in a little more than 21,000 votes. So 90-6% was the 2024 presidential election results in D.C. So when you look at the polling in the District of Columbia, and it shows that 60% or 70% of people are not in favor of what Trump is doing, but 20 or 25% are, that is a major win for President Donald Trump. And in some cases, he is outperforming by 20% his election results on the issue of sending the National Guard in. So the political analysis of even though polling shows it's unpopular, that is not an accurate. So if you don't understand the context of what the voting bloc is in the District of Columbia, then yes, you would be led to the conclusion that it's unpopular. But if you break down the numbers, if you look at the historical context of the District of Columbia and DC itself, the numbers are actually far better than even I would have expected. So continuing, it's a sign that despite polling showing how unpopular Trump's moves are in Washington, the president is playing to a national audience and betting this is a battle that he and the GOP can win. If his recent escalation was an attempt to goad Democrats into declaring that crime isn't a problem, repealing swing voters in the process, top Democrats did not disappoint. Over the weekend, Democrat Governors J.B. Pritzker of Illinois and Kathy Hochul of New York released statements arguing that crime in their cities were down or that there is, quote, no emergency requiring the National Guard. Other Democrats have glossed over voters' concerns about public safety determining that they'd rather just call Trump an authoritarian. The Politico article goes on to say, the problem is that while some voters might not like overtly political power grabs, history shows they dislike feeling unsafe even more. expanding homeless encampments and drug overdoses in plain view have left many of them fearful. I am not necessarily surprised that this article came out at Politico. I will give them credit where credit is due. Relatively often, they've got some pretty solid articles and some pretty solid pieces. A lot of that is, of course, determined based on who is writing the article or who is penning the opinion piece. This is a really good article from Politico, and I would say this is a pretty down-the-middle summation of what's going on. Donald Trump, yes, I do believe that he wants to clean up crime in Washington, D.C. He lives there. His entire staff base lives there and works there. His family is there. He wants D.C. to be a safe place. He has a lot of national pride, a lot of patriotism for Washington, D.C. So he absolutely wants to clean up the District of Columbia. But at the exact same time, he knows that he is putting Democrats in a completely unwinnable situation for them. And it was exactly verified by Pritzker and Kathy Hochul. Because both of them saying crime is not a problem in their cities is not accurate. Voters in New York City and the state of New York, voters in Chicago and the state of Illinois, understand that crime is a problem. I mentioned this website, I guess it was earlier this week, heyjackass.com. There have been 31 homicides in the city of Chicago to date. 280 people killed year to date. These numbers are up from where they were just a couple of days ago when we talked about it. On Monday, we talked about these crime numbers. So it is a problem. J.B. Pritzker can bury his head in the sand. Kathy Hochul can go running away from the problem as much as they want. Democrats cannot get away from this problem because it is something that they have created. And it is something that they refuse to answer for. It is something that they struggle to try and wrap their head around. According to, going back to the political article, Dan Tunerine, a Democrat strategist and host of the two-way podcast, The Morning Meeting, called crime an 80-20 issue, telling Politico, quote, "Just like immigration, Trump has found another issue where the Democrat Party is on a back foot. They don't want to admit that there's a problem, even though nobody in New York City, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, or San Francisco would say things are good. The fact that we have people arguing that crime is not a problem is crazy." Absolutely right. Karl Rove, he's of course a well-known GOP strategist, commented in this article as well, saying, quote, "Trump senses that there is vulnerability on the part of Democrats, and it is. It galvanizes public attention, keeps the Epstein issue at least to a lesser extent, and the Ukrainian war issue off the front pages, and keeps the focus on the controversy between the president and big city Democrats." A White House official said Trump is giddy about the prospect of forcing the Democrats to defend the indefensible, saying that nobody wants to walk outside and have to worry about getting mugged or carjacked, the White House aide argued. Democrats will have to either side with Donald Trump or side with crime and murder. There you go. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. We could stop the show right here. That's the discussion. This puts Democrats in a completely unwinnable situation. Just like immigration, and I'm glad that that was pointed out by the Democrat strategist in this article, just like immigration, Democrats have no answers. You can't run around the United States and claim that illegal immigration is a good thing. That isn't, I would argue, it's a more than 80-20 political issue. Yet Democrats think, and for whatever reason, feel that that's what they want to do. Because more than anything, Democrats do not and will not ever give Donald Trump credit for anything. And that's fine. It's partisan politics. I would not expect Democrats to be bowing at the feet of Donald Trump and claiming, "Oh my God, Mr. President, you are right about crime. You are right about immigration." I'm not expecting that to happen. But this kind of lackluster response from those on the left, to me, is even a little bit shocking. Because when you look at the actual data and you look at the numbers surrounding immigration, and you look at the, or a crime rather, when you look at the issues surrounding violence and people feeling unsafe, it is a 90-10, it might even be a 95-9 political issue that Donald Trump and the Republicans are on the right side of. Now, again, the vehicle in which you go to solving this problem, that is absolutely up for debate. Do people support Donald Trump sending the National Guard in? Not necessarily, but that's a later issue to be dealt with. The overarching discussion, the overarching issue is lawlessness, out of control violence, repeat offenders, cashless bail, and a general uptick in crime across many Democrat cities. And while people like J.B. Pritzker and others want to claim that crime isn't a problem, when you've got the mayor of Chicago and Brandon Johnson saying that this is completely uncalled for, there's no emergency going on. Meanwhile, you look at a city that's had 280 homicides this year, 31 people have been killed, 192 shot just in the month of August, which I'll note we still have 5 more days to get through in this month. That is not a situation that paints Democrats in a good way. There's no positive. You know, in politics, for the most part, it's pretty easy to spin an issue to make your side look good. For the most part. And it's something that, you know, the spin machine is very good at operating. You've got folks in the media that are doing it. You've got elected officials themselves. For most issues, you can make a salient argument why your side is right and why the other side is wrong. But on the issue of crime, there's no spin. There's no silver lining. Democrats arguing, well, crime is actually down in these cities from literally all-time record highs just 2 or 3 years ago, is not a spin. There's no silver lining in that. Violence and crime is out of control, and Democrats do not have any answers. Back to the article here over at Politico. A White House official said that Trump is once again giddy about the prospect of forcing the Democrats to defend the indefensible. To the president, this is basic common sense shit, the official said. Direct quote there from the White House official. And I think he's absolutely, or she is absolutely spot on. Going back to President Richard Nixon, Republicans' tough on crime messaging has long won them favor with American voters. Their advantages have continued in recent years. In 2022, Senator Ron Johnson, the Republican out of Wisconsin, changed the trajectory of his struggling reelection campaign by attacking his Democrat opponent for supporting ending cash bail and decreasing police funding. Lieutenant Governor Melinda Barnes responded by accusing Johnson of being a hypocrite given his support for Trump after the January 6th Capitol riot. However, that attempt did not work. That was followed by a nationwide backlash against progressive district attorneys, mayors, and other local leaders who eased up on prosecutions and embraced decriminalization experiments inspired by the George Floyd protests in 2020. Even in liberal cities such as Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, California, and Chicago, Illinois, Democrat voters rejected criminal justice overhauls and elected officials they felt would be tougher on crime. Earlier this month, CNN's data guru in Harry Eaton dug into polling on crime and declared that Trump, quote, is like Air Jordan towering over former President Joe Biden on crime issues. While Biden was underwater on crime by 26 points in 2024, Trump had a +1 favorability on the matter in August, just days before his National Guard movement. With Eaton from CNN saying, Americans are far more hawkish on crime than a lot of Democrats want to admit. Perhaps that's why a Harvard-Harris poll taken last week found that that 54% of voters believe that Trump's actions in Washington, D.C. were justified and necessary, and just as many thought his show of force would make the area safer. It's possible that the polling could shift, writes the author over at Political, Rachel Bade. Politics is a pendulum, and with Republicans in power and Trump shattering norms by putting service members on the beat, voters could move in a new direction. Karl Rove himself questioned whether this will how this will play in the midterms. Crime is most salient to voters where the riots, mass protests, and other types of urban distress, he argued, take place. Something that we are not seeing right now, even if it's a top worry. Also, Rove said, one of the ironies is when there is success in something, the issue tends to dissipate. Noting that there's more security in the border, therefore it becomes a less important issue to voters, and it's the exact same thing with crime. But Republicans on Capitol Hill are also cheering Trump's latest cause. To understand why, look at congressional maps. The GOP's midterm battlegrounds run through suburb seats outside of major cities, places like Long Island and the suburbs of Philadelphia and Atlanta. Just as helpful for Republicans that it is to focus on crime, and it could draw the spotlight from Medicaid cuts and the economy at large, where the voters are still uncentered. One senior NRCC official told Politico, quote, anytime we're talking about crime, this is a win, noting that Democrats are already just doing what we'd hoped, replying with ridiculous responses that come across as sympathetic for criminals, citing statistics to argue that crime is no longer an issue when nobody actually feels that that is true. And you know, it's interesting, and I'm glad this point was pointed out by the NRCC. This is something that I don't think you see that often in politics, but it is a very important, piece of the equation and is valid and relevant for discussion this morning. When you look at an issue like crime, and yes, Democrats can point at a chart, and I will do so as well. I mean, we looked at this earlier in the week, but we'll do it again this morning. Here are the crime statistics in the city of Chicago from 2015 to 2025. So after over the last decade. And yes, crime is down from its peak in 2021 when there were 559 homicides in the city of Chicago. It is, in fact, down. You can give Democrats that. But those numbers are still up overall. Compared, and you look at this 10-year span, crime numbers are on average or even slightly up in comparison. But more important than anything else, yes, the chart, the data might show this, might show that, all fine and dandy. But the real thing that needs to be discussed and the thing that really has the relevance and the importance is, do people feel like it's a problem? And I might argue, and I think I will argue, that that is more important than the actual data itself. Do people feel like crime is a big problem? Do people feel that they are unsafe in their cities, in their towns, in the places in which they live and work? If the answer to that question is yes, which data indicates that it is, they feel genuinely unsafe. If the answer to that question is yes, then this chart and Democrats holding up bar graphs, that doesn't matter. Public perception is a lot more important than the data. And if you've got a populace, a voting bloc that says, we feel unsafe, we feel that the community in which we live, play, and work is unsafe, showing a chart like that doesn't really matter. Going out on television or going out on social media and writing posts about how crime is actually down and you just, this is not a real issue, this is not a worry, just ignore it. Doing that as a response is so incredibly short-sighted and so incredibly stupid. Your voters have a problem. You need to figure out how to message to them some sort of alternative solution so that they don't feel unsafe in the cities in which they live. And I'm glad that point was pointed out by the NRCC. Again, reading again. Statistics to argue that crime is no longer an issue when nobody feels that that is true. Back to the political article by Rachel Bade. The matter is poised to play a starring role in the coming weeks. We could see Trump deploy the National Guard in other big cities, and Congress could take up crime-related bills when it returns in the early days of September. While Trump has hinted that he might circumvent the legislative branch and declare an emergency to extend his D.C. police takeover, which will require congressional approval after 30 days, he's already talking to some Republicans on Capitol Hill about making sure that Democrats are forced on the record in some fashion. Another great political power play by this administration. Put it up for debate. Let Democrats in the House and in the Senate claim that crime is not a problem. Let them stand up there and claim that hundreds of carjackings a year in D.C. is not an issue. Let them claim that 280 homicides in the city of Chicago year to date. Make them claim that that's not a problem. It is a winning political issue for those on the right. Their hope is that Democrats unify and vote down an extension of the DC takeover or other criminal measures, then pummel them on the campaign trail as soft on crime. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has already poured cold water on extending Trump's police authority. And according to the article, I've spoken with people in the House who predict that House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries can keep all of his members in line to oppose such a measure. The question, however, is whether they should. Karl Rove said that if Democrats were smart, they'd use this opportunity to dispel the soft-on-crime narrative that Republicans are pushing. And he said that there is an easy model that they could summon. When Bill Clinton was accused of being soft on crime in the 90s, he called for 100,000 new police officers. Democrats could also point out that Trump is blocking local funding for police. Other Democrats say that they should agree with Trump that crime is a major problem, but propose to do even more. Democrat suggestions include offering proposals to fund hundreds of thousands of new police officers, reform bail laws, and force local prosecutors to crack down on smaller crimes. With, you know, looking at those issues, I think those are things that the Trump administration and the MAGA movement and Trump himself would be all in favor of. Democrats have been criticizing their own party for not having these kinds of specific solutions. And while many voters might not like what Trump is doing, according to Democrat officials, they say they appreciate that he is doing something. You've heard me talk about that as well. This is the quintessential definition, or the difference, I should say, between strong leadership and weak leadership. And that was part of my topic this morning over on the Morning Line email, which you can get over at on the website nickcraig.com. The discussion this morning, had to do with the inability for governments to deal with problems. And as you look at crime, that is an issue in literally all of these Democrat cities where they are unwilling to tackle the issue at hand. I wrote this in my email this morning. For those that are not subscribed, you can get subscribed over at nickcraig.com. Government often struggles to fix problems because they can't clearly define the solution or measure success. We're seeing this play out in Wilmington as leaders fumble over how to address homelessness, piggybacking on the show yesterday morning. But this is a far broader issue that is all over the board, right? This is a far broader issue that is a big time struggle for those on the political left. They can't define an issue. They can't see how to deal with it. It's a big time issue for them. And you would have assumed at some point that they would have said, oh, this stuff is actually terrible. This is a really, really bad idea. We need to figure out how to message this a different way. We've got to figure out how to deal with this in a manner in which we can actually win this issue. But for whatever reason, they're not. And that leads us to where we are this morning. It leads us to where the discussion is right now. Which, by the way, you can head on over to nickcraig.com. There's a banner on the top, a link on the bottom left-hand corner. You can put in your email there. You get daily news headlines, podcast episodes, and my morning take. It's the morning line email available completely for free over at nickcraig.com. And so they just don't have answers. They don't have anything to say. Arguing crime is not a problem. Arguing, oh, the authoritarian, big, bad, awful, evil Donald Trump he's the one causing this problem. Finishing up the Politico article, polling suggests that Donald Trump is onto something. A recent survey by the left-leaning group Data for Progress found that majorities of voters agreed that Trump's power play was an authoritarian attempt to distract from bad headlines. But the same group found that more than half of those polled agreed with this statement. Quote, Trump is doing what's necessary to crack down on crime. The average voter says, common sense tells me that this is a problem. I don't feel safe, and you guys don't want to address it. The party, he continued, needs to wake up, talking about those on the left. Noting, you know this is an issue that hurt you in 2024. You know that the public perception is that you're soft on crime. You need to get on top of this. This is a really good Politico piece, and it's got some really good analysis from those on both sides of the political aisle. It was written by Rachel Bade over at Politico. The headline, Trump is leaning in on crime. Democrats need a better response and fast. I'll have that over in the show notes at patreon.com/Nick Craig. And, you know, with that, Donald Trump put out a post a couple of hours ago, kind of teeing this up, saying Speaker Mike Johnson and Leader John Thune are working with me and other Republicans on a comprehensive crime bill. It's what our country needs. And now more to follow. Make America great again. Donald Trump hammering this issue. It is a losing issue for the left. And even Democrats are pushing back on this. On yesterday, the Chicago mayor was on the Morning Joe program on MSNBC. And even Joe Scarborough was hammering the Democrat mayor of Chicago over his comments with Donald Trump. We'll get to those coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll also get to your comments coming in live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Before we continue, I'd like to thank the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. And boy, what an opportunity for the law group, and what a huge milestone and accomplishment putting out on their social media yesterday, serving Southeastern North Carolina for 22 years. The law group got started in August of 2003. And I'm here to tell you this morning that their experienced attorneys have continued to provide high quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state for now 22 years. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call this morning, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. We'll continue the discussion on Democrats completely dropping the ball and missing this issue of crime. We'll get to some clips and some of your comments, as well as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Wednesday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course, available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Thanks for spending some time with us. A heads up for those that support the show on Patreon. Coming up tonight, the monthly hangout is back for the month of August, 7 p.m. tonight on Zoom. That is going to be taking place for those that support the show financially on Patreon, patreon.com/Nick Craig. Typically chat for an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on the evening. Crime, a whole bunch of topics to discuss locally. We'll get into all of those tonight, 7 o'clock, patreon.com/Nick Craig. If you are already a supporter, go ahead and log into your Patreon account or check your email. You should have an invite and a link to that. I'll send out another notice a little bit later on today. Look forward to the conversations tonight over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. So we're talking about crime this morning and the Democrats, surprise, surprise, inability to tackle the issue in any meaningful way. Getting some commentary in on our live channels this morning. Democrats are condoning the destruction of America from within. Trump is stopping the Mad Max anarchy. It's exactly what he's doing. And again, whether he actually solves the problem or not, he is forcing Democrats. Folks, this is what it boils down to. He is forcing Democrats to come out and publicly state that they are okay with crime. He is forcing the left to come out and publicly proclaim that they are okay with crime. They are okay with violence. And it's just not working. And even some on the left are starting to call each other out for the issues that are unfolding. This was on MSNBC yesterday. The Chicago mayor in Brandon Johnson was on with Joe and Mika, the Morning Joe program, and had this to say in a very interesting exchange on MSNBC yesterday morning. Take a listen to this.
Would you also like to get federal funding to help put 5,000 more cops on the street in Chicago? Would that help drive down crime?
Well, look, policing by itself is not the full strategy.
No, I understand that. You've talked about the other things you want, and I said those are good and important programs, but I'm asking also, would 5,000 more police officers on the street in Chicago be helpful to go along with all of those social programs that a lot of cities are engaging in and having success with?
Well, look, here's the best way I can put it, Joe, is that in the 90s when I was in high school, we had 3,000 more police officers and we had 900 people being murdered every single year in Chicago. It's just not policing alone. Of course, we want more detectives.
I know it's not policing alone. You've told me everything else you want. I'm curious, and this does come down to an ideological difference between people. Do you believe that the streets of Chicago would be safer if there were more uniformed police officers on the streets of Chicago?
It's a simple question, right? I'm going to pull the video off the screen. I don't want to get copyright claimed on YouTube or any of the other platforms by MSNBC, but we'll continue to play it. It's a very simple question. Would more police on the ground, would more cops, sworn law enforcement officers on the ground, help solve this problem? This should be a very simple answer. Yes, it would. As you can imagine, it will not be a simple answer from the mayor of Chicago, who's getting eviscerated, ripped to pieces by Joe Scarborough.
I believe the city of Chicago and cities across America would be safer if we actually had, you know, affordable housing.
Look, okay, that's not the question I asked. My question and I just need a yes or a no. Do you believe the streets of Chicago would be safer if you got all of those other extraordinary programs put back into place, which do have a history of being successful, if that's complemented by having 5,000 more cops on the streets of Chicago?
I don't believe that we should narrow it down to just police officers, Joe, is what I'm saying. That is an antiquated approach. We've invested in detectives.
Mr. Mayor, are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm agreeing with you that all of these other social programs are extraordinarily important. I just need a yes or a no, and then this will be the last time I ask. If you get all of those other social programs that 800 million that New York City does, Los Angeles, other people do with great success, would an additional 5,000 cops on the streets in Chicago help complement those programs to make Chicago safer?
Look, we are working hard to make sure that our
can't give him a yes or no. literally cannot answer the question. Is a this is why that political article was written. This is why those that are on the inside track in the Democrat Party, the party people, the operatives that work, the consultants, they are freaking the hell out over the response the Democrats are having in response to this. This is such a simple question. Would more cops on the city streets of Chicago, where you've had 280 murders so far this year, would that be helpful? And this joker cannot give Joe Scarborough, again, this is MSNBC, this joker, the Chicago mayor and Mayor Brandon Johnson, cannot give Joe Scarborough a very simple answer, which is yes. Having more cops on the streets would be helpful to cut down on crime. There is nobody in policing, nobody in law enforcement that would say more police is bad. Having more police would cause more crime, would cause more violence. But this guy cannot give Joe Scarborough the answer, and Joe is hammering him over this, and I think rightfully so.
Our police department is fully supported. I don't believe that just simply putting out an arbitrary number around police officers is the answer. What I'm saying is policing and affordable housing. It's policing and mental and behavioral health care services. It's policing and youth employment. It's a full package. Of course, we want to make sure that our police department is fully supported. That's why I've invested in our detectives bureau, because what we have seen in the city of Chicago, when we solve crime, it acts in and serves as a deterrent. It's policing and all of the other efforts that we're doing. Here's the last thing that I'll say to that. The federal government could work stronger to coordinate with my police department to get guns off the streets of Chicago. We've seen these coordination efforts work. Just a couple of weeks ago, the ATF working with my police department, we removed over 150 guns off the streets of Chicago that were trafficked in through Mississippi and Indiana. No one is saying that police officers don't play an incredible role in driving safety. They play an absolute pivotal role in that. But we have asked law enforcement to do too much. Police officers are being asked to be social workers, counselors.
Why are police officers being asked to be social workers? That is another failed Democrat policy. That is the, I mean, nobody is asking them to do that except for you, Governor Johnson. Like, you guys are the ones that are adding all of these additional responsibilities for law enforcement. That's not them doing that themselves. That's another failed Democrat policy.
What I'm simply saying is, if we're going to build safe and affordable cities across America, the one thing that safe communities all have in common, they invest in people. We have a poverty issue in the city of Chicago and cities across America. Police officers alone will not put food on the table. Police officers alone will not guarantee a high quality education. Police officers alone won't drive down unemployment. We need all of it. The president of the United States of America and the federal government could restore Medicaid. They could restore SNAP. They could stop defunding our public education system. Here's the most important point here. Justice Brandeis, over 100 years ago, the first Jewish American.
So there you go. There's the response. That's what the left is. That's what the left is cooking with. So to, let me make sure I'm understanding what the mayor of Chicago is saying there. Poverty is a big issue in Chicago, where, as you can imagine, because it is a Democrat-run city, taxes are out of control, and it is an increasingly ever unaffordable place to live. And so, to solve said problem of poverty, the federal government needs to stop cutting Medicaid, which nobody that is poor and on Medicaid is losing their coverage. Now, if you don't work and you're an able-bodied individual, yeah, you are, and you should, because that's not why the program was set up, and that's not who it's intended to help. But the problem with crime in the city of Chicago is the federal government. This is why Democrats are completely freaking out on the left. This is why those, including Joe Scarborough, who, while I disagree with him probably 90%+ of the time, he is a smart guy. Right, Joe Scarborough is not an idiot like many of the other pundits on MSNBC and CNN. Joe Scarborough is an intelligent dude. He is a guy that has been in public office, has won elections, and understands what goes on and what takes, you know, everything that surrounds being an elected official in this case, talking about the issue of crime. He knows that this is political suicide for those on the left. He knows that this is not a sustainable path forward for his Democrat colleagues, which is exactly what they are. Joe Scarborough is a flaming progressive liberal. But when he is eviscerating and completely reaming out the Chicago mayor, asking him a relatively simple question over and over and over again, would having more law enforcement on the city streets help the issue of crime? And he can't get an answer. He knows that Joe Scarborough knows that the Democrats are screwed on this issue. He knows that the Democrats cannot come back from this. And folks, I was talking about this earlier this week. I was at a local political meeting. And, you know, yes, the midterm elections are coming up, obviously municipal elections this year. But the runway for the midterm elections, in which, of course, the Democrats would want to seize control. It's not going to happen in the Senate, but they're going to try and gain control in the House, which would put a significant damper on the rest of the final 2 years of the Trump administration. The runway is shortening every single day. Literally, as every day goes by, as midnight strikes every day, that runway is getting shorter and shorter and shorter for Democrats. And if they can't figure out the response to issues like crime, if they can't figure out responses to issues like immigration in a, I will argue, a pretty short amount of time, they've got to get their messaging squared away over the next couple of months. If they can't do that, I can see a situation, and there's still a lot of time to come. The midterms are still at this point, you know, probably what, 14, 15 months away. Still a lot of time. A lot of things can change. God knows what happens in the next 14 or 15 months. Nothing in politics is certain. But if they can't figure that, a simple issue like crime out over the next 2 or 3 months, I think they're toast in the midterm elections. Now, I'm not saying get out there and start waving the victory flag. I don't think that I'm not trying to breed any level of complacency amongst conservative voters. But this is a very real issue that Americans are facing. This is a very real issue that Americans are concerned about. And Democrats do not have any of the answers. And Guy Benson was on Fox News on America's Newsroom yesterday and talked more about this, talking about how far Democrats are removed from the average American. Just take a listen to this short clip.
That's also not atypical of the Democrats, right? It's this ritualistic weirdness. And it's performative, and they've done it for years. And you can have outside groups putting together a list of words you shouldn't say because you sound too strange to average people. When you have your party meeting and you open it with a land acknowledgement talking about how you're all on stolen land or whatever, that is so far removed from the everyday concerns of average Americans. It makes you look wildly out of touch yet again.
And wildly out of touch is exactly what they are. I will claim to you, and I think make the point accurately this morning, that the Democrats are wildly out of touch with Americans. It's why you're seeing articles like the one we read over at Politico. It's why you're seeing headlines like this. It's why you're seeing somebody like Joe Scarborough torch the mayor of one of the largest Democrat cities in the country. They are completely out of touch with the issues. They have no solutions. They want to argue with Donald Trump. They believe that that is their fastest approach. The fastest way for them to any sort of political victories is to just argue with Donald Trump. I believe that that is a failing strategy. I believe that is something that is not going to lead those on the left to any sort of political prosperity, which, by the way, I'm totally okay with. I'm not in favor of the Democrats having a successful midterm election. And so one of the interesting things to watch over the next couple of weeks, and Trump, if he's smart, and he is, and if his team is smart, which I believe they also are, they are going to drag out this issue painfully slow for the left. He does not need to act immediately on Chicago. He needs to continue to ratchet up the pressure. Let this stuff play out. Let it play out for a couple of weeks. Let it play out for a couple of months. Keep the Democrats on their back foot dealing with crime. Make them go on MSNBC. Make them go on CNN. Make them go on NBC and ABC and CBS and defend why it's okay to be soft on crime. Make them defend their ridiculously stupid soft on crime policies. That is a winning issue for those on the political left. That is a winning discussion. And another example of this, this is Jamie Pritzker on, Jamie Raskins, the Democrat senator from Maryland on CNN yesterday. If you thought all of the other commentary wasn't ridiculous, this one probably should be the icing on the cake for you. Take a listen to this.
And the military is not supposed to be used for ordinary law enforcement purposes. In D.C., he was talking about cleaning up the graffiti and, you know, dealing with the blight of homelessness, which are obviously local, not federal issues. And he's trying to militarize our society, intimidate his political opponents. The whole idea of picking cities based on their partisan leadership is absurd. I mean, there are lots of Republican cities and towns struggling with crime. Everybody is across the country. Always, crime has always been part of our history. And yet crime is down in D.C., for example. It's at a 30-year low.
Not true.
It's down in Baltimore. It's down in Chicago.
Not true.
But the point is that in our system of federalism, the different branches of government and the different departments of government are supposed to work together. If Donald Trump thinks he's got some great ideas for Chicago or Miami or Houston, Texas or whatever, he should call a summit for the White House and say, hey, here's some ideas where the feds can work together with states and localities, not have a series of rolling National Guard invasions of people's cities.
Yeah, great, great feedback there, Jamie Raskins. Great work. Very, very well executed on your behalf. Why is he targeting Democrat cities? Even some, including the Reverend and Al Sharpton, is claiming that it is racist for Donald Trump to be doing what he's doing because he's targeting black mayors. That's what Al Sharpton had to say on MSNBC. I saw that quote just a couple of days ago. It's not going on. It's going on specifically because Donald Trump is a racist. Okay. Why do you think Trump is so-called targeting Democrat cities? Might it be the fact, let me lay this out and get your thoughts on it. Might it be the fact that it is the Democrat cities that are continuing to push soft on crime policies? Might that be the reason why Donald Trump is targeting places like Chicago, like Baltimore, like Philadelphia? The list goes on and on and on. But no, Democrats refuse to believe that their policies are leading to these situations. It's obvious. That's not my thought on it. You heard the clip from the Chicago mayor. You've heard the commentary from other folks, including the governor of Illinois, that there's no problem here. This is not an issue. Just walk the other direction. Look the other way. There's no issue here. There's no problem here. It's absurd. We know there's a problem. Polling indicates and public sentiment would show very clearly that people believe there's a problem with crime. And so Democrats, surprisingly, wow, imagine my surprise here. They're now trying to turn it into a race argument. Because when they don't have the answers to a problem, when they are on the wrong side of an 80-20 issue like they are on crime, instead of defending their position, instead of trying to figure out how they can be on the winning side of the issue, they pivot to their typical discussions like, oh, I don't know, race. Oh, you're doing something that we don't agree with? You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're a misogynist. You're a xenophobe. You're an Islamophobe. You're all of these phobes because you're challenging Democrats on their incredibly stupid and failed policies. So Trump is winning the issue on crime. This is going to be I think he's done this masterfully well. I hope him and his team make this as slow of a burn as possible. Let Democrats continue to have to try and defend this day after day, week after week, and hopefully month after month. This is a winning strategy for those on the right. And I love the idea when Congress is back next month that they start taking up a variety of crime bills, and you can put the entire congressional Democrat delegation on record being soft on crime. Winning political message for Donald Trump and those on the right. We'll continue to follow this and see how it unfolds right here on the Nick Craig Show. Again, don't forget tonight coming up 7 o'clock, our Patreon monthly hangout. That'll be taking place on, again, tonight, 7 o'clock on Zoom. If you are a member of the Patreon, you can subscribe over at Patreon, or you can view the link and get an email access to that over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. If you are not, I encourage you to do so. You still have time to get in tonight, patreon.com/Nick Craig. Once again, I want to thank the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Congratulate them on 22 years of service to Southeastern North Carolina. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. That's going to do it for a Wednesday edition. Thanks for joining us live, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. It's the Nick Craig Show.